The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want you to take your Bible and go with me to the Gospel of John, if you would. Take a few minutes this morning and share with you this message that's on my heart for Father's Day. And I want to talk to you a little bit about your Heavenly Father, which I'm still learning about Him, even though I gave my life to the Lord when I was 5. I'm still realizing you only know a little bit. You know, He's so awesome. I believe we're going to spend the whole of eternity finding out about Him. But the Gospel of John, chapter 14, before I read the verse, we're going to go down to verse 12. Let me just say this. Jesus is the express image of the Father. So that's why you have to study Jesus closely to see the heart of the Father. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I am my Father, one. He said, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. So He came to represent the Father. So you can't have the Father being different from Jesus in the sense that the Father has a different purpose. Whatever the purpose of Jesus was, the purpose of the Father. He came to do the express will. So verse 12 says, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. And then go to chapter 15 and verse 1. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So in other words, one thing you know about God is that he's looking for results. Are you with me? Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, which you should not be afraid of that, because that's like a pruning that takes place so that it can produce more. That may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me as I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That's why you and I are totally dependent upon Jesus. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. In other words, the Amplified says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. The Amplified says, when you bear, produce much fruit. My Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourself to be a true follower of mine. And he goes on and he continues to talk about his Father, and he continues to talk about the Holy Spirit and how that the Father loves you. The Father has a plan for you. Go over to chapter 16. And look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, because he'll receive of mine and show it unto you. The Amplified is so powerful. It says, he will honor and glorify me, because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine. He will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said he, the Spirit, will take the things of mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. And then he talks about going to his Father. Now, go down to verse 25. Well, let's read verse 24. Well, let's read verse 23. And in that day you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall speak unto you plainly. At that day you shall ask in my name. I say not that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. Because you have loved me and believed that I came from the Father. I came forth from the Father and I'm coming to the world. I leave the world and go to the Father. So what is Jesus saying here? In the Amplified, he says here, at that time you will ask, you will pray in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for it will not be, that will be unnecessary. For the Father himself tenderly loves you because you love me. What is Jesus saying here? If you look at people today, they're always trying to get somebody else to represent them before the Father. Certain religious groups, they always got to go to the bishop or the, you know, the prophet or the apostle, whatever, because he's closer to the Father and he can put a good word in for you. And if that was the case, Jesus would have said that, but he never said that. He said, in that day when you pray, don't ask me for anything, because I'm not going to even ask the Father on your behalf. He said, ask the Father in my name, because the Father himself loves you. In other words, he's saying the Father, my Father, is wanting to hear from you personally. And I'm giving you my name, and my name gives you access to my Father. So in that day, you don't have to ask me anything. You don't have to say, please, Jesus, would you do this? Please, Jesus, would you do that? You can say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And he said, my Father will hear you. My Father will answer you. My Father will do it for you, because my Father loves you. That is so powerful, to know that your Heavenly Father loves you. The Father himself loves you. God's not sitting in heaven angry with you, waiting to hit you over the head with an umbrella. God did not wake up this morning mad. Somebody said, God's really angry today. No, he's actually not. I tell you, the Lord, God is very angry with what's going on in the world. He's not. Well, I thought he was. Yeah, but you heard some angry preacher. First of all, God's not angry right now. He's not confused. He's not depressed. God didn't wake up depressed. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. My arthritis is killing me. Jesus caught coronavirus. And now a third of the angels have tested positive. Angels are walking around wearing masks in heaven now. And I just had to huck one of the pearly gates, because I'm going to make a payment on the throne room tomorrow, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And there's Rodney down there, and he's praying all kinds of crazy stuff. And he just thinks I'm going to do it for him. Doesn't he know that I'm tapped out at this juncture? I got news for you. You'll never put on TV, and there's God on TV saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. Please, if y'all don't help me, I'm going to go off the air. Now, maybe that's a preacher doing that. But God, He is the all-sufficient one. He is El Shaddai. He is the God of plenty. He's everything that you need. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is, don't make me run this field this morning. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. He is the way maker. He is the one that took the hammer of creation and struck the anvil of time and caught the sparks and flung them out into space to deck the starry sky. He took the sands of the sea and weighed them in his hand and weighed the weight of the sands. He knows how much water there is in the oceans. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs there are on your head or the lack of it. He knows everything. He knew you before you were born. He knows you from your rising up to your lying down. You're coming in, you're going out. Everything about you, nothing is coming upon you unawares. Nothing takes heaven by surprise. Nothing is a shock to God. God's not going, wow, that came out of nowhere. He doesn't change his mind. He's totally focused in what he's doing. And he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. These are the plans that I have for you. Hallelujah. Regardless of how things are going on in the world, the Lord has put you here so that you can function and do everything that He's put in your heart. How many have some things in your spirit that you feel God's going to have you do before you leave the earth? Then I'll prophesy over you today that every one of you will accomplish heaven's purpose and plan. It's no different than living in the year 1425 or the year 1562 or the year 1670. Or the year 1721. It's just living in the year 2020 with modern technology and all the advances of science. But it doesn't matter because God's hand is upon you and the Lord put you here. God put every one of you. You were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Somebody said, why did the Lord let me live at this hour? Because God felt that you were made out of the right kind of stuff, that God put you here for this hour. And we are not of them that will draw back. But we are people of faith. If God could call me out of Africa and send my wife and I here over 30 years ago, landing in the country with $300, four suitcases. Kirsten was 5 years old. Kelly was three. Kenneth, you saw my son today. He was 7 months old. If God could bring us here and then send us to 85 countries of the world, what is He going to do with you? What is God going to do with your life? Hallelujah. So I want you to grab something that's very important for you to understand today, and you have to put this in your spirit. If you get only one thing out of what I'm saying right now, you got to grab this. God is on your side. He is not against you. Do you know how many people wake up thinking, I'll tell you, I think the Lord doesn't like me? Because that's what the devil does. See, if they blindfold you, if I blindfolded him, yeah, and then I hit him, and then I tell him it's Pastor Eric. Are you with me? Yeah. Meanwhile, it's not. Then I hit him again. It's Pastor Eric Gagnon did that to you. Then I hit him again. He's blindfolded. He can't see. I hit him again. Pastor Eric did that to you. He'll begin to think Pastor Eric did that. Meanwhile, it's not. And that's what the devil does. Everything that goes wrong in your life, the devil said, God did that to you. He doesn't like you. So how do you pray when you already think God's against you? When the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer, and the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, God is looking for people that he can show himself strong on their behalf. And therefore, you could stand up and say, Lord, you can find me right here on a field, right here in Hillsborough County, right here in Florida. If your eyes are running anyway, you can run right here to me today. Hallelujah! You here on the second half of the field, I'm coming to check up on you here. Hallelujah! His eyes are looking for you. His eyes are looking for you. And you can get his attention. You do that when you praise and worship. That's what happened to Cornelius, an Italian, sitting in his house. And an angel appeared to him and said, your prayers and your giving have come up as a memorial before God. That's why I came to see you. He got God's attention. I got God's attention in Africa. You can get God's attention. It doesn't matter where you live. God will come to your house. He will come and find you. He is not against you. Say this after me. God is on my side. He is for me. It doesn't matter what other people told you. God is on your side. You have to know that. You have to know that. God's not, when you wake up in the morning, God's not sitting there with five plans to destroy your life. Let me see how I'm going to take them out today. I'll break their arm before lunch. I'll give them cancer by afternoon. Huh? And they'll have a major car wreck at sunset. No, because you look at people in the world, the moment stuff goes wrong, they go, why God? Isn't that right? Why God? But he's for you. He's not against you. He loves you. We can quote the scripture many times and people just take it for granted, but it says, for God so loved the world, that means everybody, that means every tribe and tongue. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world. God's not yet condemning the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You can't get better than that. One of the things I found out traveling to 85 countries of the world, that there was no one group of people that the Lord favored that I thought that he loved those people more than the others. In every tribe and tongue, there are righteous people and he loves them and he will find you. It doesn't matter where you live. You can live in the middle of the inner city. You can live in the outback of Australia. You can live in the Arctic Circle of the North. And he will come to your house. He will come to your tent. He will come to your igloo. He will come wherever you live. He will come and find you. And he will reveal himself to you. And the Bible says, those that know their God will do exploits in his name. There's a bunch of people on a field right here on this Sunday morning. Morning on Father's Day that know their God and they will do exploits in his name. The devil wrote you off. He said you wouldn't amount to anything. Other people wrote you off. They said you would fail. You'll come to nothing. But I got news for you. God hasn't written you off and God's not finished with you yet. And God's about to do something that's about to shock everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can pick you up out of the dunghill. He can pick you up out of the depths of sin, out of despair, out of bondage, out of addiction, out of the things of the world, and deliver you and set you free. And make you a testimony. Lord, set free and free indeed. That's why I tell people, don't look at me like I'm something special in the sense that I'm, Listen, I'm like anybody else. If I had given the opportunity, I probably would have been the biggest gangster on the planet. Because whatever I do properly. Are you with me? I never had an opportunity because my dad beat the hell out of me. He was a big man. If you knew my father, he said, you'll serve God. I said, yes, sir. Amen. No, I mean, they didn't have to do that, but he set the example for me, took us to church. We were there when the doors opened. We were there when the doors closed. We never missed anything. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night was a prayer meeting in the house. We were there even when it was holiday. When it was vacation, we were driving around on a Saturday. I said to my dad, we're on holiday. What are we doing? He said, we're finding a church. Where are we going to go on Sunday? I thought, man, can't we just have a holiday? But we were finding a church. Because that's what you did. The only reason I haven't done what other people have done, I didn't have access to it. I hate to think what I would have done. Lord have mercy. I'd have written a book. But the grace of God, that's why I have compassion on people. It doesn't matter what they've done or where they've been, because I understand if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I have been? But it's His grace that's extended to every single person here today. And to you watching by television. But you have to know that He is for you. God is for you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He hasn't got a headache today. He's not saying, shut up. I need some quiet. There might be a lot of things I don't know, but one thing I do know, and I stand here very humbly today, I know the Lord is with me and He's on my side. Amen. He's with me. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's things I don't even have answers for. People ask me, I say, I don't know. I had all the answers when I started the ministry over 40 years ago. I knew everything. Now I just have questions. People message me, so what's going on? I say, who knows? You know, you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to trust. How many have questions? Good. Don't try to answer them. Ask them, but just chill. I stand here today and look at the miracle of this field when it looked totally impossible. I didn't know how we were going to meet. And I saw in my spirit a field. The three that we looked at in the next county, because I wanted to take the pressure off of this sheriff and Hillsborough County, you know. The three fields we looked at wouldn't work out, and I knew the only place was here on the property. And I came and stood and looked at this field. The wall ran right across the back there. I said, that's not good enough. We're going to have to pop that fence off the back. And I looked here, and I saw the parking lot. I thought, I can imagine this is going to be bad. In my spirit, I just saw grass. How are we going to get grass here in 4 days, 5 days? And I heard the word AstroTurf. And within 2 days, a miracle happened. The vice president, AstroTurf, right in Tampa, called us. And within 2 days, the trucks were in Georgia bringing them down. Somebody said the devil went down to Georgia. No, our guys went up to Georgia and picked the AstroTurf up and came and laid it out. And a brother, African-American brother from Orlando, Florida, who was touching my meeting back in 93. He heard about this. He puts the stuff down. He said, I'm coming. I want to do it. He said, I'm not even charging anything. I was touched in the meetings in the early 90s. I want to be a part of the field. And then people just begin to come. People just begin to help. It's been supernatural the past 21 days. But this is only the beginning of what God is going to do. These giant umbrellas look like little tents, cabanas. I was thinking of charging. No, I'm teasing. But these are five-star resorts. You get these cabanas. And I thought, okay, we'll put them up for the sun, you know. And I can get a few more and throw them up if we need to. But they've helped us during the rainy time as well. And the Lord said, I want you to make it five star. Put the water on the side so people can get water for free. Put the fans up that blow, you know, the air. Amen. We've got people sitting eating snow cones in the middle of Sunday morning, which is great. Which is really great. I'm thinking put like a little radio there where you can call the food trucks and you can punch in your food order and we'll have runners bringing your food to the thing. Who knows what's going to happen here the next couple of months? Amen. How many have ever been to those theaters where you can order food to watch a movie? This could be the first church where you can sit and order lunch on a Sunday morning. And I'll just tell you this, I got something planned here. But one of these Sundays, right when I'm preaching about now, I'm going to lock those gates. Nobody will be allowed on the field, and I'm going to feed everybody lunch. I'm telling you right now, and it's going to blow you away what I'm going to feed you. It's going to shock you. I'm not telling you which Sunday. I'm not going to tell you which Sunday. It's going to shock you. And you won't even be able to get in your car and get there because everything's going to be locked. Only those on the field that Sunday will get fed. And I tell you, it's going to be so great, you want to slap your mother-in-law. Sorry, Mom, she's a great mother-in-law. Amen. Somebody said, you mean you're going to feed everybody lunch, Pastor? Oh, yeah, I got a whole plan. You say, why? Because I want to bless everybody. Now, why am I saying that? If I have in my heart to bless people, then how much more... If you want to bless your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father not want to bless you? Somebody said, but how come I don't receive their blessing? Because you think He's against you. When you wake up in the morning thinking that God is against you, you're never going to walk in the blessing. Because there was a time, even in the early days of my ministry, when I thought the Lord wasn't really happy. And it was hard for me to pray. I started the ministry in 1980. Donick and I got married in October of 81. This was the early part of 1982. And I was sitting in a rondavel, which is a round house with a thatch roof in Africa. It has no corners. It's one of those rondavels with a thatch roof. We didn't have any money. I couldn't even have money to buy my wife shampoo. We didn't have money for gasoline. I was preaching at this Bible school, which I found out wasn't a Bible school, it was a rehabilitation center. And they would go and smoke weed in between the classes, you know, so people were high. But I just said, look, I'm going to give it my best. And I was sitting studying. A lot of the messages I preach today were formulated there. I have the notebooks. I preach the message exact same way. Nothing's changed. And I was sitting there, and this scripture I read to you today hit me. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father, He will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. For the Father himself loves you. That hit me like a sledgehammer. I sat weeping and I kept going over my spirit. The Father loves me. The Father himself 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 loves me. The Father himself, he loves me. The Father himself loves me. The Father himself loves me. The Father himself, he loves me. I knew Jesus loved me, but I wasn't sure about the Father, you know. And that day, I saw it was like the Lord gave me a blank check. And it was signed. And he said, you can make it out, whatever you put on there. He said, if you're satisfied with your ministry where it is today, I'll bless you, I'll look after you, I'll take care of you all the days of your life. But if you want to shoot for the highest in me, he said, I'll give it to you because I love you. Hallelujah. And it was like, I realized now there was like a blank check book. Not that I just go fill out stuff every day. I fill out stuff according to his plan. Are you with me? Because everything he does is according to his plan. That's why it's my job to find out his plan. I don't go to him and say, God, here is a plan. I want you to bless it. I go to him and say, what is your plan? And then it's already blessed. If I get the blueprints to the plan, then it's already blessed. If I've got to go sit in a room with 10 other people trying to make a decision, what do you think we can do? My God, what are we going to do now? This COVID-19 thing come out of the blue. How are we going to function in ministry? We might have to adapt. There might have to be a new normal. There's no telling if we had that whole way of thinking, there's no telling what we would be doing now. But we didn't. We didn't. It's just about heaven's plan. And we don't follow heaven's plan by the news media. We don't follow heaven's plan by what the doctors say. We don't follow heaven's plan by what the bankers say. We don't follow heaven's plan by what people in government say. We follow heaven's plan by what the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, says. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And peace becomes the umpire. Peace. You follow the peace. And so people want to push you. You got to do this now. I don't have to do anything. I'm stepping right back right now. Somebody said, well, it's a deadline. Well, I just moved it. Step right back. Move right back. Take your hands off it. Stop trying to make it happen. It's not my problem. It's God's problem. I don't have to prove anything. It's not my word, it's his word. He watches over his word to perform it. I just have to hear from him, what exactly do you want me to do today? Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. People say, oh, we can do this. Sorry. Oh, this will be a good idea. What does God want? And so that's the key. If he's for you and he's on your side, that means he already has a plan. That means if you press in and find out what his plan is, it's already gonna be blessed. You can't lose. You can't lose. Are you with me? Because you're already on the winning side. Hallelujah. What do you mean? You might have fished all night and caught absolutely nothing, but something happens when Jesus gets in the middle of your boat. I got news for you. You're not going backwards. You're going forwards. You're not going into retreat. You're going into an advance. This shall be the greatest hour for your life for your business, for your home, for your marriage, for your children, for your ministry, for everything that you put your hand to. Why? Because God is on your side and he's for you. Hallelujah. I'm about to riot here. I'm moving in on the devil's territory. Taking everything that he has. It's time to plunder hell and populate heaven. God is on your side and he's for you. He's not against you. As David said, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. Bless God, if you have to run through the wall, you can even do that too. Hallelujah. My God, I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost here. Somebody run the field today. What are you just sitting there? Run the field for me. Oh, my God. Oh. Take it easy, Pastor. Pastor Shannon, take it easy. Pastor Shannon, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Take it easy, Pastor Shannon. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you do run, try to run in the same direction. Let all things be done decently and in order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, God is on my side. Say it again. Say, God is on my side. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is on my side. Say, he is for me. He's not against me. Say this on me. Say, Jesus, the head of the church, he said, in that day, I must not ask him for anything. In that day, I can ask the Father in the name of Jesus, and whatever I ask the Father will give it to me, for the Father himself loves me. Lift your hands and thank him right now. Come on, come on, take your eyes off of man today. Man is not your source. No man is your source. God is your source. He listens to your cry, the deepest cry of your heart, your desires, your very thoughts, your very dreams. He knows what they are. Father, I pray that you will shock your people. Bless them beyond measure. Bless their socks off. I see you've already done that. But bless them. Surprise them this next week. May this next week be a supernatural week. May Monday be a supernatural day, Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. that even this whole next week that you will go before them, that you'll make the crooked path straight, that you will furnish a table in the wilderness. Make them a sign and a wonder. That when people see them, they see the hand of God and they see the favor of God upon your life. That you live under His blessing. You live under His protection. You live under His mercy. You live under His grace. This is for every person on this field today. And those watching in your homes by television. You have to grab a hold of it. You have to say, if nobody else believes it, I believe it. If nobody else on this field's going to grab a hold of it today, I'm going to grab a hold of it. If I'm the only one, if I'm the only one watching today, I'm grabbing a hold of this today. Men and women that know these truths, armed with these truths, shall rise up in this day and this hour, shall march to the land. Supernatural things shall be accomplished. Supernatural things shall be done. There shall be a sign and a wonder everywhere they go. Whole regions will be shaken. Towns and villages and even nations shall be shaken. This is the day and the hour of the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth is groaning and travailing for the day of release, but it is even now where the people of God shall rise up in boldness and on fire, full of faith, full of the anointing, marching through the land and setting the captives free. And God will use every single one of you, from the littlest child here on the field to the oldest saint. Everyone shall be used of Him. And you shall not do it in your flesh, and you shall not do it with the striving of your mind and of your flesh, but you shall do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. For even as you lie upon your bed in the night hour, the Spirit of God shall come upon you, and you shall have a heavenly dream, and God will give you a vision, and you'll know exactly this is the way, walk in it. And then during the day, as you go about your business, the Lord will say, no, not that. Don't go through that door. That's not of me. And you'll back right off. There will be no strain. There'll be no sweat. You'll walk right through, and everything will pop just like popcorn right around you. Everywhere you go, people will think, they'll wonder, how is it possible that you're walking on this level? And you'll say, it's my Father, my Father, my Father, my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. And so many times I just tell him, you overwhelm me. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Last night before I closed my eyes to go to sleep, I prayed over all of you. I said, Father, pray over every river member. I pray over everyone coming to church tomorrow that you protect them from their rising up to their lying down. That no harm and evil will come nigh to them. And that you'll bless them. We pray even people coming on this field that might be sick in their body, the moment you walk on this field, you'll be healed. Let me close with this. I'm not going to get to heaven and the Lord pull me aside and say, you and I need to talk. We straighten something out. When you were on the earth, you ran around the world. You told everybody how big I was. And you did exaggerate. You told everybody how great I was. and you kind of overdid it. I was great, but not that great. You think that's going to happen?
No.
If anything, I'm understating it here today. Because whatever I'm telling you, it's bigger. He is greater. As I bring this message to a close, the greatest prayer that I can have for every one of you on this field today and those that watch in your homes, that you would know Him as your Heavenly Father, and that you would see Him as He really is, and that you would know above all things that He loves you and that He's for you. And that He's on your side. That the devil does not control your destiny. But God controls your destiny. And if God is for you, no one can be against you. If they try to touch you, He will deal with them. Because you are the apple of His eye. And He loves you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost here today. I'm convinced before the end of the stand that this AstroTurf might start to even grow, you know. I actually saw right around where the television towers are this grass growing through the AstroTurf. I thought, hey, I want you to close your eyes across this field. I want to give an invitation today, not just for those present, but those watching. If you're here today and you fall into any one of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you came here today, you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never ever come to a place where you actually personally said, Jesus, please become my Lord and my Savior. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way that takes you to the Father. He's the door. He's the life giver. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. And He calls you today. If you died today, if you went home, put your head on your pillow, and in the middle of the night, you breathed out your last breath, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven again and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. The power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life, and you'll leave this place changed. He calls you. He says, come. Will you surrender to Him today? He loves you. He loves you. Maybe you're on this field, you're watching by way of television. You gave your life to the Lord in days gone by. But you've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You lost the peace, the joy you once had. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. Maybe it's something hidden that no one could see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. But today you say, I want to be free. Will you let Him come? He will do that. He will never force Himself on you. He only comes when He's wanted. Will you let Him do that? Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone could see. And so the enemy uses it against you to keep in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. But I want you to know the devil's a liar and God's a God of a second chance and a new beginning. Maybe it's not here in our world. Maybe you were going along, you were serving God, you were doing great, and a storm came and hit you like a Mack truck from hell. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world, but today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And then lastly, if you're on this field, you're watching by wave television, you gave your life to the Lord, but you're not sure. You do not have the assurance. You don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. But today, you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God, that Jesus is your Lord, and that if Jesus came today, you'd go with him. If that's you, right where you are, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want you to put your hand up right now and say, pray for me. All across this field, thank you, right here in the front. All across the field, thank you, right on the third row, right on the second row. Ushers, just help me signal where they're raising their hands because I can't see with all the umbrellas. I'll count the umbrellas. Hands are going up across this field. I want all those that have your hand in the air to stand. Everyone with their hand in the air, go ahead and stand. Don't wait on anybody else. Now, if God is speaking to you and you want to be included in the prayer, we're going to pray. I want you to stand along with the rest of them quickly, 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 quickly stand. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. You might never have another opportunity. This day, your life could be required of you. I don't want you to leave here without knowing. I want you to know. I'm going to ask everyone that's standing to make your way down the aisle and come stand at the altar here today. Come. 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 To follow Jesus. Come on, today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day. Come. Come, he calls you. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You could take the whole world, but give it Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Now, I'm going to just say what I see in the spirit. I see a roof over this place, but not a conventional building, which is going to be hard to talk to architects because they can't think outside of their heads. I just see a roof running across the place, open sides. Open sides, just open sides, like a very rough place. On this field. I don't know all the intricate details, but I know what I see. And God's going to do it supernaturally. It'll cover the whole field. Oh, yeah. Now, this brother down here, the Lord told me to tell you from this very day, everything's going to turn. There's obviously that the enemy had a plan for your life, but his plan is broken from this day. And God is going to use you to touch many, many people. You're going to reach people that I cannot reach. Are you with me? So if you mean business with God today, God means business with you. And there are going to be supernatural things that God's going to do with you. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want everybody to lift your hands right now. Close your eyes. I want you to pray this. Believe it in your heart. Say with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just begin to thank him. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day, not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray. We take them, we put them in the hands of the mighty Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that carried me as a boy from Africa to 85 countries of the world. Carry them, that on that day they would hear these words, well done. Seal them now by your blood. I break every curse of witchcraft over them. I send it back to its place of origin in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Come on and lift your hands and thank him right now.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.